Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Are you serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill an Hour. I'm Marcus Bronzy.
And I'm Nick Bright. What's good?
There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Right now, you are killing some time with us.
Indeed you are. But before we crack on with the show, right, we can let you know about all the ways we've been killing time, all our little hookups, discounts, competitions that we are running via the newsletter, right? Now, what you need to do is you must sign up for this newsletter. You must go to howtokillanhour.com/news. That's howtokillanhour.com/news, or you can click the link in the description, but you must do it.
So easy, man. It's like, why waste time having to check whether we've got new ways to kill time when we can tell you straight away?
I mean, newsletter does sound really old school. It's probably a news email. I'm assuming that you haven't got, you know, Billy, producer Bill, here at How to Kill an Hour, just sending out millions of letters to people's addresses.
We have actually got a bike. It's got 15 gears on it, so we can go uphill, downhill, all over the country. Billy will be delivering this newsletter to your door.
Hand delivered. He must have a sore tongue from licking the envelopes too much, you know what I mean?
Boy, well, they do say postmen do have a sore tongue, but for various reasons out there.
Oh, it's not from the envelopes. Right, okay, right.
It's from licking all of the... Anyway, so we usually kick off the show by telling you a way that we've liked to kill some time and share it with you. We call it Kill a Bit. We've not called it that for a few episodes. Can I bring that name back, Nick, for that feature?
But this week only, Marcus. I mean... Okay. Just always changing stuff.
Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry. So here's how I've been killing a bit of time. I've got a few ways, actually. The first way is I headed down to something called Pendulum at the Vaults. And the Vaults is a large, immersive and also theatrical experience festival that's going on in Waterloo at the moment. And okay. I went to Pendulum, which is a specific VR/live theatre experience. Now, we've done VR before. We've done live theatre before, which is immersive. This is a combination. The genre of it is horror.
Right. So straight away, I'd be crapping myself.
I am very, very sensitive to horror films. Let's just say, like, you know, if we all go watch a horror film, I will be squirming the most. I'll jump and scream the loudest, yeah, basically. Yeah. Since Saw, I was like, I'm a big enough guy to say, I'm not going to go to watch any horror movies in the cinema again.
I ain't seen a horror film in the cinema since, like, the first Amityville Horror.
Oh, like, shit.
Like, I hate them. Why do you want to go cinema just to be shitting yourself?
Why would you pay money to be scared?
Fuck that. These people that go, yeah, but it's so good. It's like, no, it's not. I've got a tip for you, though. If you do go to see a scary film and you don't want to, like, lose face, say if you're there with a chick, man, you don't want her to think you're a pussy.
Yeah.
Look at the seat in front of you. When something mad scary is happening, it looks like you're still looking at the screen, but just look at the seat in front of you.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Now you can have that one for free.
Now I just have to work out how not to shit myself. But if you do like horror, this is definitely for you, because for starters, the entrance to the vaults is underground in Waterloo. So the place already is very, very spooky. It's really got a spooky vibe to it. And then when you step into the actual Pendulum theatrical experience, the part of it that isn't VR, usually you'd expect them to have to dress up a set to make it extra spooky and dim and dark. But no, you don't, because it's fucking scary as soon as you get in there. You hop into a jumpsuit, because that is what your character has to wear. And as soon as you're in your jumpsuit, they tell you a safe word. At any point during the experience, you can say this safe word. And it will get you out of it.
Right. So it's kind of like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of it.
100%. And they, I think they have to do it, because it got that intense the safe word was on the tip of my tongue.
Really? You almost said it?
Yeah, I almost said it.
And I'd never say it.
Then I went, and then I never said it. Yeah, I almost said the safe word, but I held on. And what's crazy is, like I said, it's spooky already, but they designed the VR so that the VR blends in with the room that you're in.
Okay.
And that's all I can say, really, without spoiling it for you. But I must say, out of all the VR experiences that we've done that have been crossed over with sort of immersive theater, this has definitely been the scariest. In fact, when I came out of it, they do something that fucks with you. I didn't know for about 2 minutes, a long 2 minutes, whether it had finished or not.
Right, okay.
So I was like...
You're not trusting anyone.
Bruv. I was there like... Is this really, am I safe to move right now?
You get to the end and it's like your friends and family are waiting for you. And you're like, are you really my friends and family?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Am I out of the immersive world?
I felt like I was in the Matrix, bro. I wasn't sure. So if you want to check that out, please check the link in the show description. It's part of a festival that's going on throughout March in the UK, in London. So if you want to get your tickets for it in 2018, check it out ASAP before they're out of there. As well as that, there's a little Easter egg that I found, Nick, on Google Maps.
Okay.
Super Mario. They've managed to wangle into Google Maps. It was Mario Day the other day.
Managed to what?
They managed to wangle into Google Maps. It was Super Mario Day the other day. I believe if I'm wrong. Billy, am I wrong? Was it the 10th of March, Super Mario Day? Yeah, Super Mario Day is the 10th of March. I didn't know it.
I didn't know it either.
Yeah, did not know that. Now I do. And to celebrate it, they've upgraded Google Maps for the next few weeks. So again, it's going to be around March. Is it just a week, Billy?
Just a week,
Billy said. So yeah, if you're listening to this after the 20th of March, 2018, you may not see this on your phone. Long story short, you go into Google Maps, put in your route, and if you see a little square box like from the Mario game,
yeah,
the question mark on it, you press it and it goes bloom. And then Super Mario becomes a little avatar. And as you're driving around, you get little Mario sound effects like, let's go.
That's sick.
You fucked up and took a wrong turn. No, he doesn't do that, but still. So that's another way I've been killing time.
So, but hang on. After the 20th, it's gone completely, or you get shafted with Luigi. Because, you know, like nobody wants Luigi, man.
But Luigi could jump higher in the games. Yeah, Luigi can jump higher.
Yeah, but the game is called Super Mario. Well, I know it's Super Mario Brothers, but like, it's got Mario in the name. It's not like Super Mario and Luigi, the brothers.
So when did Super Mario Brothers, when did we first see Luigi? Was it Super Mario Brothers? So it must have been around, it must have been Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario 2. And that game came out in 1983?
83.
So what you've told me, Nick, is the first ever Sideman in the world was created in 1983.
Full Sideman, Luigi, right there. Man ain't even included in the name of the game. But everyone wanted to unlock him. That's the mad thing. Like in certain games, you know, where you had to like clock it to unlock Luigi.
I think
Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
If you like got all, I can't remember what it was, but I think you had to get all the coins or something. And then in every level, if you collect all the coins in each level, all the red coins as well, and then you could unlock a cannon. And I could be talking absolute bollocks right now. But like the cannon was like out in the grounds of the castle. You could fire yourself to the top of the castle and that would give you like 1,000 lives. Maybe you got Luigi as well. I don't know. If I'm wrong, just at me on Twitter and tell me.
You're wrong, bro.
But don't slate me though. You know what I mean? Some people on the internet are mad rude.
Something tells me that there isn't a mad Luigi fan club out there.
No.
Or maybe there is. Actually, with the power of the internet, there might be a small group of people in a Facebook group that love Luigi more than Mario.
Yeah, it's probably like people that have got a brother or a sister that is massively favoured and they're just like the side sibling. So they're just like, fuck this, man. I'm starting a Luigi fan club.
Yeah, man.
That's what it'll be.
What's your favourite thing about Mario, though?
So many things. Like, do you mean him as in general or do you mean the game?
I could ask you what your favourite Mario game is, but I mean, what do you think makes Mario so charming? Like, why is he not, like, a lot of other classic retro characters like Sonic, yeah? I've really kind of become a bit dry over the years. Why hasn't Mario?
I think with Sonic, it's because Sega stopped making consoles. So it's like a little bit of the magic died there. But with Mario, it's just like every game they bring out, even the ones that aren't necessarily classics. Like what was the one that came out after 64? And he had like a jetpacky type thing. Like
I don't even know. Let's get Billy on the buttons while we work that out.
I think it was on the GameCube, and it was Super Mario Sunshine.
Right.
Yeah, see, I recalled that off the top. That weren't no Googling.
Yeah, I totally lost that.
That one weren't that good. It was a bit weird, you know what I mean? He had kind of like a propeller jetpack type thing. But I think it's the simplicity of the games, but the fact that they always innovate and do something different with those games. Like, Super Mario 64, in my opinion, and like, I'm not necessarily into like hardcore games. I'm more of like a casual dude when it comes to gaming. Super Mario 64 is one of the best games ever, in my opinion.
Wow.
So playable, man.
Wow.
All ages can pick up and play that. If you're a casual gamer, you'll play it. Even like people that are really into video games will still play Super Mario 64.
That's what I like about Mario the best, is the fact that everyone knows who he is. And it's like, I'm hard pressed to find somebody that goes, I fucking hate Mario. It's like, who do you know that, like, if you ever brought up Mario, he's not the sort of thing like, oh, I played the new Mario. They're like, oh, I hate Mario. Nah, never happens.
I mean, unless you've just been ripped off by a plumber. Like, you know, you might have had to get your toilet fixed and they ripped you off hard and you're like, Mario, he's a fucking plumber, ain't he? You know, but then I was reading something that says he's not even a plumber anymore.
Is he not a plumber anymore?
Like, but nah. The whole thing of him going down the pipes is because he's a plumber, you know? The
100%.
Like, I'll Google it right now. Super Mario, not a plumber. It comes up. Mario's not a plumber anymore, Nintendo finally admits. This article was on the 5th of September 2017.
No way.
I know. Mario is no longer a plumber, according to his recently updated profile on the Japanese Nintendo page. This comes as no surprise, considering it's been years since Mario really worked his supposed job. What the hell?
He's been unemployed. Yeah. He's on the dole.
Man's on JSA.
Oh, man. What do we say to that?
Mad. He's not a plumber.
Bro, unemployed. Mario on JSA. But maybe that's why he's hustling out Google for a little bit of love.
I love it. Hang on. Before you move on, this article is making me crease. They're taking it to the next level.
Go on.
They're like, but almost never have we seen Mario perform the basic duties of a plumber. There are no toilets to be fixed in the Super Mario series. There are plenty of pipes. But when have we seen Mario fix them? Since the original Mario Bros. What the hell? This is hilarious. This person got way too much. He's also done some light handyman work in the Paper Mario and Mario and Luigi games. Emphasis on light. But those aside, if Mario was a plumber up until now, he wasn't a good one. What is this? This is hilarious. Wow.
Oh,
there you
man.
Go. Super Mario, not a plumber. You heard it here first.
Yeah, that's right. How to Kill an Hour exclusive.
Not really an exclusive, but whatever. If you say it, it's true.
Okay, yeah. Collect 1,000 lives and jump on a cannon and get
that's
Luigi.
Real. Okay. The lives, the cannon was in a cage.
Right.
There was like a cage, like a grill over the top of the cannon.
Yeah.
And like, you had to do something to unlock that grill, and then you jumped into it and you shot yourself onto the top of the castle, and then you could get like 1,000 lives. Google that. I'm telling you, that's real. Like, the Luigi thing might be a bit of a blank, might be a reach. But the 1,000 lives on top of the castle, or it might have been 100 lives. It was basically like it made like a little thing. It couldn't show you any more lives, if you know what I mean.
Oh, you got infinity lives.
I don't think it was infinity. I think they like got ticked away, but like.
Okay, sick. Anyway, I've been playing an app called Last Seen Online. Now, do you remember like books when we were a bit younger where it'd be like your character, it's like a first person kind of style book, and it's like your character walks up to a door. They can either, one, open it without knocking, two, ring the doorbell, three, walk away, and then you'd pick your answer and then that would take you to like another chapter of the book, and that's how you try and complete the book. Do you remember books like that?
I do. Multiple choice books.
So now people have kind of taken that idea and developed it a little bit further. So there are apps out there where you can choose what to do and choose what to reply in the form of like text messaging. So somebody will message you, for example, I'm stuck, I can't see anything. And you'd be like, well, can you smell anything or what can you hear? And then that's how you get through a game. These have been going around in phones for a little while.
Yeah.
Great idea. Interactive stories. Now there's an app that I found called Last Seen Online. And it's kind of taken the idea in a different direction. Now this app is free for starters, so great if you want to get your hands on it. Check the link in the show description. And it lasts over 7 days. And it's kind of like when you open the app, you've opened somebody else's WhatsApp.
What? And not in real life, though. I mean, encryption on WhatsApp.
Clearly. Right, yeah, end-to-end encryption. End-to-end encryption.
Excellent. Worried about that.
Get me. So when you open the app, it's like you've opened somebody else's kind of WhatsApp. And it gives you 24 hours or an evening to read through their backstory. And once you read through their backstory, you then start receiving messages and get to read what's going on in this person's life as it happens live,
right?
Kind of thing.
Right.
So it's like a live story that happens in your phone, like it's in someone else's WhatsApp. So you get to be in someone's drama in their phone, man.
But hang on, it's not real though.
No, it's not real.
I mean,
you can't just make a drama, but it's like a really well-written story. It's a fictional style chat story, and it allows you to read through these messages of a missing girl. And then in real time, you get introduced to messages from family and friends, and you can kind of discover what happened to her through the messages.
Ooh.
It's so, so Ooh. Simple. So, so simple. And I can give away the name of the main protagonist, can't I? That won't spoil it if I give you the name. Her name's Amy Morris, right? So she's out with some friends celebrating her 26th birthday.
Ames.
Yeah, that's it. And however, it's the day after and she never made it home. But you can read her text messages.
Whoa.
That's how it is, really. And that's it, mate.
Did she pull then, basically? You know what I mean? She never made it home.
People can't even hoe in peace now. Now they ain't got to make a freaking app about
it.
That's
what I'm saying.
You get me?
She got linked down somewhere, you know what I mean?
Let someone live their life,
man. That is out of order.
Someone live their life. You get me? The sequel will be James Can't Hoe in Peace. That's what they should call it. Now, that's Last Seen Online. I really, really like it. It's a free app and it's just something different. And you can put it down and come back to it and read up. You don't have to sit there and smash through it. Or if someone comes and talks to you halfway through you reading a message or even watching videos and listening to audio messages, you know, like in WhatsApp, Nick. So it's quite realistic.
Yeah.
So try it out, mate. Honestly, you'd like it.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Last Seen Online. And that's how I've been killing time this week, man. How about you?
Well, I've been watching a new Netflix series. I'm quite into like animated series, you know, like Family Guy, American Dad. Not so much The Simpsons now because that fell off hard.
Yeah.
Boy, The Simpsons fell off harder than 50 Cent.
Lost its edge.
Boy.
Lost its edge.
Hell yeah. But I've been watching this thing called Big Mouth.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen 2 episodes of it. Please, though, share with the listener this amazing, amazing show.
So it's really funny. Basically, it's about a group of like prepubescent teens, and like they're about to hit puberty, but like they have like, what's the best way to say it? They have a monster that only they can see, and it's called their hormone monster. So it's like the one of the main characters, his hormone monster is so funny. So he'll just be there, like, in class or whatever, learning about sex education, and then the hormone monster will just appear and they'll be like, hey, you. Like, that's how he talks. He's like, hey, dude, we need to go and have a, I was about to say wank, but they don't say that in America.
We need to go jerk off.
And it's like, he's like, no, I can't, I'm at school. And then he's like, come on, I stopped you before. And it's like, the teacher's like, so then it travels down the fallopian tube. And he's like, ooh, fallopian, that's a good word. Like, that's exactly like what it sounds like. But it's like so funny. And it's quite X-rated, so it's probably not safe to watch around young ones, but like, or at work, maybe, if you're trying to like squeeze in a little Netflix sesh at work. Probably not, but if you're at home or maybe on the train, if you don't mind people looking over your shoulder and seeing like madness that you're watching. There's also one scene where he's playing basketball and then all of a sudden all the other players turn into massive dicks and he starts singing a song and it's like, dicks playing basketball. It's like, just like, big dicks playing basketball. It's just like massive cocks playing basketball.
It's like a kind of, I don't want to make this sound cheesy, but it's kind of like a coming of age cartoon, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
He said coming, dude. But you like to do that, wouldn't you? It's that coming of age where you kind of like harps back to kind of, you know, when you're a teenager and you start, bruv, you know, you get your first fucking boner. Mm. You get me? You first start looking at someone in your class like, you know what?
Yeah. Yeah, boy. The pen girl at school. The pen girl. Everyone remembers the pen girl. Yeah. It's called Jazz.
Yeah,
that was
that's
her name.
It. That's it.
I'm not going to say her surname because, you know, I don't want to get anyone sued.
At your school, really?
Yeah,
her name, that your one? Jazz.
Her name was Jazz.
That's a hot
she
name,
was
though.
A langers.
That's a hot name, though,
but
Jazz.
I'm thinking I might have seen her on Facebook now, and it's like,
boy, I can't. Yeah, I was going to say. I don't even want to say the name, but somebody that I knew, some of the girls that used to be tings at school, looked at them on Facebook recently. Think. You know what I mean? It might not even be an ad friend or a confirmed friend thing. It might just be a decline.
Yeah.
Ignore request. But what's good about that show is that Nick's mentioned like the like male side of things, but you do actually get like female side of things as well. So you do get some characters, not some, but you get other characters, their experiences with their hormone monsters. So does it carry on kind of focusing on one character per episode kind of thing, or does it kind of stick with the main? Because I've only watched a couple of episodes. There's like a main couple of characters that I saw in the first episode, and there was like they went on a school trip in the second episode or something.
The girl, I'm so shit with names. I think her name might be Jessie.
Yeah.
And yeah, she has her first period basically.
Yeah.
And you know, her hormone monster then appears. So it's like her hormone monster is obviously very different to the male hormone monster.
Just as pesky.
It's like, but it's more kind of like her hormone monster. It kind of plays into the stereotype of like her one is very angry. You know, once a month, shit can get very angry. You know, that's what I'm gonna say. I don't want the feminazi to come after me, but like shit can get very angry, and her hormone monster is like encourages that. Whereas like the male hormone monster is basically like what most guys are like, where it's like, we need to jack off, dude, we need to jack off, she's got big titties. It's just basically like that.
You know, it's a good watch, man. I don't know, I felt like I could relate to some of the experiences, not direct, but I felt like, oh shit, that's kind of what it feels like to be a teenager, some of the awkward things that happen. It's pretty cool, man. Big Mouth
is called, it's on Netflix at the moment, and one of the good things about it is it's one of the Netflix shows that you can download. Because I hate some of them you can't download, innit? That shit's annoying.
And some episodes, shows still, you have to watch weekly when they come out.
Designated Survivor's one of those, innit?
Yeah, man. Right.
I like Designated Survivor, but that weekly shit is long.
Yeah, what's that about, man?
I think it comes down to like,
whether they finish making it on time or not.
Well, I think that some of them, they're making them like, you know, they're not finished seasons, but
right.
It is weird because I interviewed Bob Odenkirk once, who plays Saul in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. It's just before Better Call Saul came out. He came over to the UK and he came onto my radio show.
Cool.
On One Extra.
What time?
Heard it before?
Where?
Saturday, Sunday, 10 till 1.
Cool.
He came on the show and he said that the reason because they did that with Better Call Saul weekly. The reason they did that is because they needed to stop people in America. He seemed to only target America. He's like, we need to stop people in America from pirating this show. He didn't go into much more detail.
Right.
But,
is it because if it gets released at 12 o'clock in another country, it makes no difference.
Now it might have changed now because you know, like times have changed since then. That was a few years back, but even so, like we just said, Designated Survivor, that's you know, once a week.
It's got one of my favorite JBs in it, Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
Oh, and previously, Nick, you've actually asked whether I think James Bond, Jason Bourne, or Jack Bauer are the best, and I think I've got to come back on my answer. I think James Bond was my guy before.
Yeah, James Bond's like shit. I don't know why they're all JB as well. It's weird, isn't it?
I mean, I've got another favourite J, who's Jack Reacher.
Okay.
Reading them books. That guy is straight G. Yeah,
it's a bit of a reach, though.
Yeah, he's a reacher. Mm. But yeah, but Jason
Reacher Rounder.
Jack Reacher Rounder. Jack Bauer, man, he's my guy, though.
That
man,
must
24.
Be a, that must be a porno spin-off.
Jack Reacher her?
Or it could be a gay porno, you know.
Could be.
Jack Reach Arounder. If it's not, I'm trademarking that right now. Audio trademark. It's mine.
Boom. Because you can.
Go. Yeah.
And is that how you've been killing time this week then? Or recently?
What, watching Jake Reach Arounder?
Yeah.
No, I haven't been doing that. I have been watching Big Mouth.
Cool.
Which is so good.
Yeah, man. Netflix, pound for pound, has to be my favourite media outlet for like visuals, like TV at the moment. It's got to be the one, man. It's got to be beating cinema for me. Yeah, there's some great films out there. But every time I go on Netflix, there's new content made by them, which is like It feels like they've made it just for me.
I do like going to the cinema, though. I was talking to my flatmate about this because he's very much like, he's not really that into the cinema.
Yeah.
But like, I like going. I don't know why. Like, because it's pretty much stayed the same for as long as I can remember in terms of like the experience that you get when you're in the cinema. You go there, you watch a film. Maybe the screen quality's got better and the sound might have got better, but the general experience is the same, right?
Mm.
But I just like going. Something about
food,
getting the salt and sweet mix popcorn.
Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do. Overpriced popcorn. You like paying loads for popcorn.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I used to work in the cinema as well back in the day. I used to work in the Odeon in Marble Arch when I was at uni. Yeah. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's a little like ode to a past life.
Marble Arch Odeon. So that was one of the busy ones. That's now flats.
It's gone now. It's now flats, obviously. This is London, man. Yeah. Everything is flats.
It's now flats. What was the best thing about working in the cinema, apart from obviously free movies?
Boy, the amount of Ben and Jerry's I ate for nothing is just mental.
Really?
Yeah, because like basically the Ben and Jerry's counter, yeah? Like people that work in cinema will know this. You're like customers are allowed to like try it. I mean, this was the policy when I was there. They're allowed to like taste the ice cream before they bought it, if you know what I mean. So you could give them like a little spoonful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I just had bare little spoonfuls to myself. You know what I mean? How can they tell if like they can't go, fucking hell, we're losing a lot of ice cream this month? You just go, there've been lots of people trying it, including me. Like, so yeah, I was just like eating loads. We used to get free movies and 50% off the food there as well.
Nice.
That's how you know the markup is crazy, though. If they're giving you 50% off the food.
The markup of popcorn, I'm not surprised if they've made their money back after a couple of bags of popcorn have come out over the counter.
Yeah, think how much it costs to buy like popcorn kernels. Like
sugar and salt.
It's mad. It's
all you need. So could you bring people on dates to the cinema and get free tickets as well?
Yeah, yeah. I think we got like, I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but it was, you got a certain amount a month of like plus ones.
Sick.
Or something.
So many dates.
Yeah.
So many dates.
I mean, Odeon was a bit far from where I lived though, that's the thing. Because I worked in central London, but I lived in like Harrow, which is like zone 5.
Yeah, that's long.
Yeah, far. You know what I mean? So I just ended up going to View, just paying.
Furry Muff. Would it cost quite a bit if you travel by Uber nowadays?
Did you just say Furry Muff?
If I said Fair Enough.
Okay, but you said Furry Muff.
You might have to go back 15 seconds and check that listener. I definitely said Fair Enough. What's the, it would have been quite a way by Uber. What's the most expensive Uber trip you think you've taken off the top of your head, Nick Bright? Baller Nick Bright, who goes to the cinema and buys popcorn overpriced because he just likes the way it feels.
The most expensive Uber that I've taken... Uber, yeah, not taxi, because obviously I've taken a black cab before and paid 90 quid.
Jesus Christ.
I had to go from Heathrow to Euston Station, which ain't even that far. £90, bruv.
How did that feel, handing that over?
Boy, that was fucking rage. I was like, you are stealing a living, mate. No wonder you lot are going out of business. Fucking hell, you arseholes.
So 90 quid is your black cab top.
Yeah, my Uber top is, again, airport. Because you know, all the airports are out of town, isn't it?
Mm.
Lots of people can relate to this, because no matter where you're listening, airports always seem to be out of town.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like New York, for example. Mm-hmm. LaGuardia's in town, isn't it? But that's the small one. Like the two big ones, JFK and Newark, both out of town.
Yeah.
LAX, out of town.
Out of town, yeah.
Like, it is what it is. So I took a cab from my uncle's house. He lives in South London, a place called Dulwich, to Heathrow.
Jesus.
And that was 40-something pound, which, like, if you compared it to what minicabs were offering, it was cheaper. So, that's why I did that.
Okay, cool. I think I've done something similar, but I've done a trip, and I've gone, oh, it's all right, guys, you take the Uber the rest of the way home. And I've forgotten that somebody's lived about 10 miles.
And they didn't split you.
It was before they added that feature, which I love now. I love the fact you can get in an Uber and you can split. I know you can split it like if it's me and you in a cab one way, but I think you can even split it more ways.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You can split it like loads of ways. And also, you don't even have to be in the cab to do the split. So,
awesome.
So say if like, you know, you got 10 coming around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, babes, I'll split you.
Oh, that is one way to show someone you're dedicated. Say, hey,
babes,
listen,
I'll split you. You know what I mean?
I really want you to come over, but... you got to get half that cab fare.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose that shows willing.
Listen, it's better than the fucking bus, you know what I mean? You know, it's like, babes, I'll give you half the cab fare, not I'll give you the bus fare. You know what I mean?
Ever the romantic, Nick Bright. Anyway, the reason I asked you this is because Kenny from the USA was enjoying a night out with some of his friends. And he started to drink at 6 p.m, which I must say, Kenny, I can tell straight away this isn't going to end well for you. Yeah, a 6 p.m. drinking, 6 p.m. start to drinking, you have to go light now. As a man who's drank very many beverage in my life, and I've overdone it very many times, that is the time you actually dare to say, I'm going to drink water and be seen drinking water. Because if you start at six, am I right, Nick? You got to pace yourself.
If you start that early, the general rule of thumb for me is one alcoholic beverage followed by a water.
Yeah.
One alcoholic beverage followed by a water.
Trust me. And the bartenders don't judge you for that, because they'd rather somebody who's slightly more sober than obnoxious go over to them and say, listen, I'll have all of that. I'll have a pint of that. Yeah, can I have a water, please? No ice pint glass. Thank you. Just give it to me on the side. Every time they'll sort you out. No problem. But anyway, Kenny started off drinking, ended up in the club, and he blacked out. He didn't remember ordering an Uber, but he woke up in one, right? And he was a little bit upset because he accidentally pressed home in his Uber. But Kenny wasn't anywhere near his house. He ended up traveling in dollars, $1,600 worth of Uber journey Virginia.
So he woke up $1,600 in already.
He woke up. Oh, we've got you home back to West Virginia. Oh no, from West Virginia to his house, which is very far away, and it cost him $1,600.
I mean, I know America's vast, right? Does it say where Kenny lived?
I need to find out. What I really should have done is found out where he lived before I did this.
I mean,
this is
madness. But stuff like that has happened to me before. Like, not obviously that extreme, and I've always realised in time, so I've like cancelled it before.
Yeah.
But like, if I click home sometimes, like I think my home is set to my parents' house.
Yeah.
My parents live in Portsmouth, which is like not in London. But like, I talk to Uber drivers all the time, just like not too much because talking to cab drivers is a bit long, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like, I talk to Uber drivers every now and then, and one guy was telling me once that he dropped somebody off at, when was it, King's Cross Station, mm-hmm. London,
mm-hmm.
and he was getting the train back to Nottingham or something.
Yeah.
Missed the last train. The guy was rinsed. But he was just like, just take me to Nottingham. Just take me to Nottingham.
What?
I know. I was like, why? He had a row with his missus. The guy told me all the details. That's the only good thing about Uber drivers. Sometimes they get all the gory details.
They definitely have stories, don't they? They have a lot of personal interaction, mm-hmm. don't they, cabbies?
I mean, I've heard, if we're just talking Uber stories now, I mean, I know people that have, like, chucked up in the back of an Uber but done it, like, sly, so the Uber driver don't know. And then they get out, get the 5 stars. You know what I mean? Boom, boom, 5 stars, and then bang.
Bosh.
Wait, what's your Uber rating, actually, while we're here?
Let's have an Uber because
some of these drivers have shagged me, you know. I give everyone 5 stars unless they're absolute dog shit.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing, Nick. How do you see, because you said don't really like talking to cabbies. Now, that might come across in the way that you talk to cabbies, because I'm feeling confident coming into this conversation.
I still give them 5 stars, though, even if they chat to me and I don't really want to chat.
But what's your regular sort of, how do you start, when you get in the cab, how do you start your conversation?
I'm just like, all right, mate. And then they're like, this is something that pisses me off, actually, when they go, they ask you your name, which is normal, yeah? Because, like, you could be anyone jumping in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go, where are you going? It's like, you fucking got it, mate. I've put it in the app. It's like, that's the whole point of this. You know where I'm going.
I think you and I, listener, starting to find out why Nick Bright is struggling with his Uber score right now.
Who said I'm struggling?
The thing is, like, what I do, Nick, is I get into the car and I'm like, hello, Abdul, my name's Marcus. I'll be your customer this evening.
Yeah, but you're just over the top them brown nose dudes,
what?
Isn't it? You're just one of them, like...
Oh, yeah.
And Abdul's always like, for example, he's always like, here, mate, do you want a water? I'm like, no, that's cool, mate, I'm blessed. And then, you know, I might say, how's it going for you tonight? And then I pretend to listen.
Oh, you're just on one, man. I don't engage. You're crazy.
Why not?
Oh, how's it going for you tonight? That's an open-ended question.
Yeah. And then they start talking, then they're doing their thing, and they're talking about themselves, which is great. You can just sit back and go, uh-huh, mad, really?
It's horrible. Yeah, but you still have to do that. You still have to be semi-listening to do that. I just want to, like, just get in the back and just get out when it's time to get out.
If that's the case, all you got to say is, like, oh, listen, mate.
Nah, because then they'll fuck you.
Nah, we're about to find out. I'm feeling confident out here.
Yeah, you're up there, man.
I'm feeling confident.
I've been screwed though, because lately I've been going out. Right, I'm a generous dude, and I normally book. I've been going out quite a bit.
Yeah,
and I'm the guy that books the Uber, and the people that I'm with they all pile into the Uber and they're all acting like fucking louts and that, but it's your reputation on the line,
bringing,
isn't it?
Bringing the excuses.
It's true. Like, the excuses. All right, I'll give you an example. Okay, the other day, I went to a pub quiz. Yep. We didn't win. But got in the Uber on the way home. Mm-hmm. I get in, everything's blessed. This Uber was sick as well. It was a Mercedes and he had like a thing in the middle with loads of sweets and shit in.
Quick digression. Isn't it great, Nick, when you order an Uber X but you get a Lux by
accident? E-Class Merc rolled up.
Oh, lovely.
Loads of sweets and water and that in this box in just the middle.
Did you order it, by the way? A Lux?
No, I ordered a...
Okay, I was going to say, because I'm rolling with... You're doing Ubers all the time now, if that's the case. Yeah.
I just got an Uber X, mate.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, it comes up. I get in. Everything's blessed. Mm-hmm. Person that I'm with gets in, slams the door. Driver straight away goes... can you not slam the door? The minute he said that, I was like, I ain't getting 5 stars. And it ain't even my fault. It's not even my fault. So you got to tell these louts that you're hanging around with, listen, this shit, my reputation's on the line.
Bro, you need to regulate your team.
Because also, you get fucked, you know, if your rating's low when you request the Uber. You know, like some people, they request the Uber and it takes ages for them to get sex because they got a dog shit rating.
Yeah.
They're in the toilet. Right, anyway, what are you on?
I want to swap phones with you, so you know I'm not lying.
No, Billy can adjudicate. It's fine.
Well, I'm not going to order an Uber, am I?
No, he can just see the rating.
I'm 4.63. What are you?
4.63 you are?
Yeah, what are you?
4.66, motherfucker! Look at that. You're rating shit. What?
That's not that bad. Why are you making all those excuses?
4.66. Because I used to be in 4.8 something.
I was, I was up there one day. I don't know what
happened. You pissed someone off. What did you do? They don't like it if they have to wait for you as well. And I'm like, that's part of being a fucking cabbie.
Do they wait for me? Sometimes I'll add a stop on, but that gives them money. Or something. I don't know. But we're pretty close. That's pretty close. We're pretty even. Only like a point. Point 0.68?
6.6.
So you're like a 0.03 better than me.
Listen, I'd love to know, just from some How to Kill an Hour listeners out there, Uber ratings.
Yeah.
I want to know.
We should give a prize away to the highest Uber rating, screenshot. But somebody's got a Photoshop that, aren't they?
You got these fucking computer whizzes listening to this, mate. Straight on the Photoshop.
6.5?
Yeah.
How'd that work?
Bang. Straight on there. I don't trust you. Just tell us honestly what your Uber rating is, innit?
Exactly. Anyway, moral of the story is don't get in your Uber pissed and go home if home is far away, because it would have cost him $35 by bus or $115 to take a plane. Yeah. Instead, it cost him £1,600. And on that note about planes and cars being cheaper, I've realised that if I want to go for a meeting with somebody in Manchester, it's going to cost me £100 return by train, approximately, give or take £10. And it's going to cost me £60-70 in a hotel if I want to stay over there.
Yeah.
A flight to Spain return will cost me £50, and a hotel will cost me the same. So you're trying to tell me now that it might be cheaper for me to have my meetings in a hotter climate?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this story, like, it was a few years ago now. There was a guy who, he was commuting from... He was basically commuting from Barcelona. He was like, he basically turned around and said, I'm going to prove to everybody that it's cheaper for me to live in Barcelona than it is in London. And I can commute to London every day from Barcelona whilst like living on the beach, like live somewhere near the beach.
Bruv. And you know what? He did it. And he enjoyed himself. Yeah. We actually did cover it on a show. We're trying to find out what episode that was. So
I think it was an episode I was on. I remember.
Oh, really?
But the maddest thing about it is, I think he only did it to prove a point.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, it's something that he was gonna do.
Yeah.
Definitely. But it's crazy, isn't it?
It is, and it just, without getting too political, I'm just like, what's going on in the UK where it costs more for me to literally go a couple of hours up the road than it does for me to go to a much nicer place, nicer food, nicer people. I don't know, man.
The trains here are crazy. You got like, if you're listening to this in the US, right, just like flip it back. You can get a train in the US from flipping New York to California, or you can go from LA up to Portland.
Yeah.
That's like distance.
Yeah.
I'm talking like big distance. Yeah. In the UK, Manchester to London, it's probably about 300 miles.
Yeah.
That's £100 on the train. Yeah. Bang. Just like that.
Nuts. Absolutely crazy. Which means, well, you know what? Barcelona was all right. I've got to say, getting to MWC wasn't too expensive.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. You've just been out there, haven't you? Sunning it up, not doing any real work.
Well, we got hit by the beast from the east over there, Nick. Remember, we had the conversation, and by the time it got to me, it was little flaky dandruff bits.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty shit here.
Yeah. And you know what? When I landed, literally, there was not a flake of snow to be seen.
What day did you get back?
I got back on the Saturday evening about 6 o'clock.
It all melted Friday and Saturday. It went gone.
It was cold, but it definitely wasn't snowy. Anyway, Nick, you ever dropped your phone on the floor, broken it?
I'm being very pedantic about this, but I've dropped a phone once and only the corner broke, like the very like top left hand corner, so not didn't smash. And then an ex girlfriend of mine, when I was in Thailand once with her, she picked up a towel which had my phone on when we were at the beach, and then the phone flinged. I think it was the iPhone 3GS. That's how old school it is. The phone flinged and it just smashed the screen. I was like, what are you doing?
No, sorry. Replace your phone for you?
You know when like people like fuck something up?
Yeah.
And their immediate reaction is not to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like they try and like laugh it off. It's like, what? Hang on, that's my fucking phone.
So like, are you trying to say that's why you split up? That's why it's your ex now? Because she broke your phone and she didn't get you a new one. Nick, I think you need to lighten up a little bit, mate. That's not grounds for ending a relationship.
She's my ex because she cleared me out and left me, actually.
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking.
But yeah, so you've technically not broken your phone. Well, you smashed the corner.
Yeah.
And
this Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Somebody else has smashed your phone on your behalf, for want of a better set of words. There are many ways in which people break their phones, and Switched On Insurance is a company that have loads of data about insurance, especially phones. And we were having a little look through it, and we found out four stupid ways that people kill their phones. Same thing. Break their phones.
Yeah, these are going to be good.
I'm going to give you a guess, and then I'm going to tell you a way somebody smashes a phone. So you have a guess, and then if you're right, we'll talk about it. If not, I'll let you know a way.
Did somebody insert their phone up their ass and clench and crack the screen? That sounds like something that would happen.
I'm going to give you another guess, and then I'm going to give you an example of a way somebody smashed their phone.
I'll tell you that as a no. Did somebody try to put their phone when they were drunk in a sandwich and eat the phone whilst they had a picture of a burger on it?
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just tell you the ways that people smash their
phone. My ways were better. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going to do it properly.
This is from the guy that at the start of this episode said he has a boring life. This is not the talk of somebody who's had a boring life.
If you're going to do it, you might as well go all in, mate.
Literally, all in the bottom with the phone. So, reason one, kids dropping them.
Right. Okay.
Which is kind of close to your story, except your missus is an adult.
Yeah.
Or ex is an adult. So, kids apparently are the ones that drop phones a lot. Probably, I'm going to say, because phones are quite big for their small little hands, but 28% of British parents have had their child drop and break their smartphone. Furthermore, they don't just break the phones. An incredible 62% of British parents surveyed said they've had their child drop another expensive gadget in the house as well.
Do you know what the problem is? Stop giving fucking phones and iPads to kids. I can't stand this shit. You get on the train, there's a kid 3-4 years old, can't even really talk, banging on the iPad. I'm like, you're spending a bag. You're spending, like, big dough so this kid can watch Peppa fucking Pig. Fuck that. I ain't doing that with my kids, man. Tell you, when I have kids, they ain't getting no phones tonight. They'll be like me. I got my first phone in, like, year 10.
Really? That's quite, for our generation, that's quite late, actually.
Yeah, I had to buy it myself and all.
Yeah, I had to do mine. I think I got mine at the end of year 9. I had to buy my own phone. Our parents raised us right, Nick.
Yeah, yeah.
They raised us right.
Listen, it was you're going to have a generation of weirdo kids that are, like, dependent on devices.
Going to.
Trust me.
Bruv, some people our age are already weirdos.
When Snapchat's down, they start fucking crying and losing their shit. It's like...
Bruv, I was getting WhatsApp messages last night saying Snapchat was down. So today's the 13th of March. Last night, the morning of 13th of March, I had WhatsApp messages when I woke up this morning, 2 o'clock. Oh my gosh, Snap is down. Snap is down. Oi, bruv, it's Snap down. It's Snap down.
I don't even use Snap anymore, man. Them lot killed themselves. Oh. Well, they killed themselves with the update, but I stopped using it from before that because Instagram stories came out and just said bye.
Nick Bright, thank you.
It's like...
You put me on to Instagram stories, bro.
It's fucking 10 billion times better.
I'm all over it. You can at people in Instagram stories. You can have... Their filters are quite funny.
If you're trying to
share it to Facebook.
Yes, share it straight to Facebook. If you're trying to build a brand, there is no way... I mean, if you're just using it with your mates, then cool. I understand why some people use Snap or whatever. But if you're trying to do anything that requires building a brand, like say for this podcast or for me and my radio show, why on earth you would use Snapchat over Instagram stories is beyond me. Instagram stories, you can put hashtags in the story, locations in the stories where people can discover you by looking at those locations and things. And also, you can use Instagram as normal to post pictures and things like that. And people can discover your profile, thus following you and discovering your story. So
it's very true, very true. And also, like I said, the Facebook integration just is amazing. But Facebook did try to buy Snapchat. Snapchat said no. So Facebook
said, cool, idiots.
Insta stories it is then, fam. Wait,
they must be so upset. Boy, Mr. Snap, whatever his fucking name is, he must be like, shit. We should have sold to Facebook at that time.
He actually wrote a book about it because I did a voiceover for the ad for it, actually. It's called How to Say No to $1 billion or something like that. And apparently he's all right off it. But I don't know. I think if somebody had $1 billion, waved it in front of me, I might take the retired life. I might take the retired life, brother, especially when it's someone like Facebook. Because, you know, if you say no to Facebook, they're the kind of corporation that are like, they're like a bit like mafia. They're like, hey, man, you join us? Or you join us. And you're like, nah, I don't want to join us. They're like, I don't think you understand. You join us or you join us.
Do you know what the follow-up to that book's called? The $1 billion fuck-up, mate. That's what it's called. This guy.
How to sniff $1 billion.
He got offered $1 billion for Snap. Surely it ain't worth that now. It must be like declining in price. Kylie Jenner tweeted that it was shit and that their shares just went down the toilet, didn't they?
Do the freaking Kardashians and Kylie Jenner have that sort of pressure now?
Yeah, yeah. Did you not see? Because she was she was one of the big Snapchat users. Yeah,
fuck.
And she tweeted saying, "I don't like this new update." Like something just like what everyone else is saying, and their shares plummeted.
They have real power out here, the Kardashian clan.
Such a shame because they're such assholes.
Boy, they can make your shares drop.
I know.
Nuts. Also, Nick, before we started the show today, you mentioned there's an update with Instagram as well to do with links and stuff. What's the crack with that?
So in Instagram stories, they had Giphy GIF integration. So it's like...
sorry, I know where this is going. Yeah. They were quite good.
Yeah.
You could have like somebody like humping your leg.
You could have
or
any...
Like dancing around.
Basically, any GIF. If you use Giphy, you could basically have any single GIF in your Instagram story.
Great idea.
Which is really good. A couple of days ago, Snap and Instagram have withdrawn this feature because apparently there's been a racist GIF that has been discovered, extremely racist GIF, which is obviously wrong. And Instagram and Snap have turned around and said that they're going to withdraw this feature until Giphy can promise that there's no racist GIFs out there anymore.
That is very hard, though, for Giphy to kind of go through the round. I don't know how to add gifts to Giphy. Is it their own library? Can you? You can't add gifts to it, though, can you? It's their own thing, isn't it?
It's a very good question that I do not know the answer to. But I do love it because you can pretty much search for anything and then just like funny shit comes up.
It's great. No, I love it. Like, gifts definitely have taken over instead of... I'd rather use a gift than an emoji. A gift can sum up a whole sentence.
Yep. I agree. Did you know, apparently, it's meant to be GIF.
It's
meant to be GIF, not GIF.
Nah, man. GIF is what you used to clean your kitchen
That's
with.
It's called SIF now, though.
Yeah,
bruv.
And they've called it SIF. Nah.
But I Googled this one day and I was like, nobody's going to call it a GIF, mate. You lot need to fucking GIF off. It's a GIF, mate.
It's a GIF.
You know what I mean?
Go GIF yourself, mate. What's it like having a blue tick on Insta, Nick? I don't have one. What privileges do you get? Do you get to like only see official ticked people? Do you get to do that like on Twitter where you can only like talk to people who also have ticks as well, like have your snobbery stream?
No, I don't think it's really that different. Can you see, at the top, in the top right-hand corner, can you see Can you see how many profile visits you've had?
Yeah.
Can you see your insights and all of that crap?
Yeah.
It's all the same then.
For that.
I think when it first started, we could put links into our Instagram stories.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that now?
I don't think I can do that, no.
So if you film an Instagram story, you can link to something.
Sales! Buy this here! Cool.
So you could do that. But other than that, I don't think there's that much difference, to be honest with you. Other than you get a little blue tick.
I'll see.
That's about it.
Anyway, back to destroying phones. Do you want to have a serious guest now, Nick? Do you want to try?
Right. So I misinterpreted what you meant. So what you're saying is that these are like serious ways people have broken phones, not the stupidest ways.
Some of them are kind of stupid.
Right. So
these are actual real.
Okay.
These are some of the most common ways people are destroying their phones out here.
This must be on there. Someone gets in the car. They leave the phone on top of the car. Drive off. The phone comes off the car. Bang, 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 bang.
Oi, oi! Roof droppers!
Yes, that's definitely on there. 100%.
It's a bit silly, but we can see how this mistake can be made. 10% of Brits surveyed have left their phone on the roof of their car and driven off. The most common of these errors out of the male and female population. Who do you want to think? Males or females?
I'm going to say women.
5% females, 13% men. 13% of them.
I thought women would be, because they got handbags, I guess. I'm going to say women normally have like more stuff on them, don't they? But then they got handbags, so the phone is in the bag.
Exactly. And we don't have fanny packs. They're not in fashion at the moment. Mm. Even the man bag's kind of, it's not really.
The man bag.
You can't roll with it with the same status that you could at one point before it become a roadman accessory.
But also, it's like the man bag on holiday. I mean, I'm not really into them, but I'll let it slide. Man bag in the UK, I'm like, nah, fuck that. No man bags. I'm trying to think of another way that the phone could have been broken. So we've had kids, right, toilet, down the toilet. That is definitely there.
Toilet loo droppage is definitely on there. Before we read into this, it has to be women that drop them in the toilet more though. Because we've got a cock and balls in a way, which could just mean there's less space. Like the phone really would have to do a lot of work to get all the way in the toilet. I'm just going to guess
Are you sitting on the toilet with a boner? I mean, like, surely the phone would just like move the dick.
Yeah, but it depends on how hard you are in your flaccid state.
Right,
you know what
okay.
I mean? And I don't know. There's not at this moment in time, there's no specific measurement.
Mm.
That I could say, I don't know. I could ask my doctor.
I don't know if you saw this story, but apparently there's a number of Brits. They surveyed British men,
mm-hmm.
and they asked them like how many British guys sit down to take a piss.
Yeah,
and like quite a lot of guys said yes. I don't know what the figures are, but I'm just going to state right now I have never sat down to take a piss, only a piss. You know what I mean? Like I might sit down, have a shit. Bit of a piss. But I'm not like, because it's long, it's more work. People go, oh, it's a treat. You know, why stand up when you can sit down? Because you have to take all your fucking like trousers down to your ankles and shit. It's long. So you, by your face, I'm guessing that you're a sit down pisser.
Yeah, but like, not, I wouldn't like, if I'm out and about and I'm at a bar or something, I go to the toilet.
It's disgusting.
What? By the way, Billy has positioned his seat in the studio to face me in such a great. But yeah, like if I wake up in the morning and I'm knackered, if it's like nighttime, you know, you go for the nighttime piss. Like you're knackered at night.
I still ain't sat down though. But I mean, Billy's got something. I hope Billy's on my team with this.
Or a shit and a piss at the same time.
Yeah, of course, we're standing up. But I've got a question for you.
Go on.
We had this conversation at work a few weeks ago.
So trying to embarrass me.
When you take a shit.
Yeah.
Right? Do you stand up or do you sit down to wipe your ass?
Sit down to wipe my ass. I stay sitting.
No way. Well,
I stand up.
You stand up to shit. Right, we need to come right back to that.
Stand up to wipe my ass.
We're getting right back to that. Once we deal with piss, we're going for shit.
What?
Once we deal with piss, we're going for shit. But for pissing, admit to me, you ever wake up at night and you're tired, yeah? And you're like, you're knackered and you don't want to go to the toilet and wake up too much. And when you come back to your room, you're knackered again, right?
Yeah.
You're too awake to go back to sleep. If you sit down, you don't wake up as much if you sit down for a piss.
Yeah, but there's more work to sit. This is what I don't understand.
What do you wear to bed? A freaking, like, layers. I just wear boxers and a t-shirt. So I just pull my boxers down.
You still gotta pull them boxers down, man. If you're standing up, you could just put them to the side.
Yeah.
Put them to the side. Straight piss. Then back in the bed. Boy.
Technically, I could pull him to the side and sit down, but then there's too much room for error there. Piss on your boxers.
And also, when you sit down, man, some guys, like my mate, a good friend of mine, you've met him, he's done a few escape rooms with us.
Yeah. Legend.
Yeah. Sometimes he sits down for a piss. He's a sit down pisser a lot as well. Sometimes he sits down for a piss and then he's like, I quite fancy a shit now. You got your boxer shorts there. That's going to be peak, isn't it? Yeah. You're going to shit yourself.
Yeah. Now, I'm quite aware of when I want to go for a shit.
Like. I don't think he stands up to wipe his ass though. I mean, that's the next level.
When he goes to your house though for a piss, does he ever sit down?
No, I think he's in other people's houses or whatever.
I draw the line there. Yeah. I draw the line there.
Safety of your own home.
Yeah, in my house, I'll sit down for a piss. But like, if I just want to piss, it's cool. But if it's nighttime, if it's between the hours of 1 a.m. and 5:30 when I get up most days, I'm probably sitting down for a piss.
You get up at 5:30. You fucking mad. Who is this guy?
It's just, you know, so I can enjoy that piss in peace, mate.
Just get up at 5:30.
But now on to wiping.
I mean,
this is a whole new thing.
I got no idea what's going on in this room right now. Man said he stands up to wipe.
You stand up to wipe your. I just want to say, Billy, though, when you stand up, the way that our anatomy is created, your cheeks are closer together. So you're creating, if you had a messy. If it's not a clean operation, you're doing the equivalent of adding pressure to a chocolate spread sandwich. Chocolate spread's gonna start oozing all over the place, dude. Mate.
Yeah, but that never happens. So you're telling me you lean forward and then
yeah, That's what everyone does.
No.
Lean forward.
What do you do? Well, you go and stand up, standing like near the bath. Stand. What you're doing?
So you stand up, but do you sit down again to get some more paper, or do you stay standing? And because you notice the paper is at like waist height,
you stay standing.
Wow!
All
right, let's all be honest here then, right? After a couple of wipes, do you give the paper a little check to see if you need to wipe again?
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, you do that, yeah?
Everybody has to do that.
You have to do that, yeah? But. Are you trying to tell me that, say, like, somebody accidentally walked in on you, Billy, in the bathroom after a couple of wipes, they could potentially see you standing up with your trousers around your ankles, cock and balls swinging out, with you holding a bit of shitty paper looking at it? Is that potentially what could happen?
The door's always shut, isn't it?
I'm just saying, if somebody walked in, that's what they could see.
I've been safe so far. No one's walked in.
Fucking hell. Got a mate at uni.
This was, this was on Twitter a lot. It was like, who sits down? There's like a lot of people on my side.
There are a lot. No, yes. Really? Really?
Yes, I'll put up this article now.
Can we do a poll on the How to Kill an Hour Instagram and back to this next week? Can we do a poll on this, please, on the How to Kill an Hour Insta, Billy? And we have to come back to this next time me and Nick are in the
stand
studio
up
together.
Ass wipers. They're out there.
We're going to do polls on all of our socials over the next week and find that out, Billy. Billy, don't try and prove a point. We're going to leave it to the people.
There could
right?
be somebody listening to this right now. Look around your office. Look where you're listening. There's stand-up ass wipers around you.
Yeah. People there, they look so unassuming.
But they stand up to wipe their ass and they sit down to go for a piss. What's the world coming to?
Quick question, Nick. I mean, Billy. When you're out and about at a club, say you have to get caught short and you have to go for a shit. Standing up again?
Yeah, but if you're in a club, I mean, I've got to back him here. That's a straight hover situation all round, though.
Is it a hover? Is it a hover then stand up?
Nah, you just like long it out till you get home.
Okay, cool.
What?
Fair enough.
No, you just
hang on.
I can hold a shit for a while.
You can if it's just like a regular shit.
If my diet's quite dairy free, I've got some good staying power.
So what I'm trying to say to you though is like this really is the poodcast.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is sometimes the belly goes and it ain't gonna be a good one. You know, you might have had like something spicy for dinner the day before. You can't hold that.
You mean when your mind's telling you no,
yeah. but your body's
telling you yeah.
Seeing that I've gone a whole day. So I've been out. I've gone a whole day. Thinking, I need to go. I'm like,
yeah, but that must be a regular That ain't a diarrhea runny thing. You can't hold that.
No. Diarrhea runny thing, nah. But if it's a regular, I've got some staying power, man. I've got some staying power. Anyway, loo droppage. So
back to the phones.
Apparently 18% of people, that's quite low on the damage scale. Still quite, but 1 in 5. Have dropped their toilets, their phones in the toilet, toilets in the phone. Whilst a lot of them survived this horror fall, 10% of all phones dropped in the toilet are gone for good.
Right.
The most prolific are people taking their phones to a swim in the bog at 18 to 34 year olds. No surprise, they're Snapchat gang.
So there's one more.
There is one more that I've got here.
Right.
It's a bit out there.
Right.
Think a bit, be a bit weird with it. So not that you haven't already, but
this,
you know.
This one's out there, yeah?
Yeah, a little bit out there.
I don't know how out there it is, though, because... Give me a clue. Is it in the house or out the house?
Something is in the house.
Did they put it in the washing machine or tumble dryer?
It's not an inanimate object.
Oh, pet. Dog, cat, like...
20% of Britons have had their gadgets chewed on by dogs and cats.
Yeah,
I don't know why a dog or a cat would get anywhere near your phone. I don't know why they want to chew it. Have you got dogs? Would they want to chew your phone?
Well, I've only got a miniature Dachshund, which is a small miniature sausage dog. Yeah. So she wouldn't even be able to. Well, she's got a powerful bite, but she wouldn't be able to break an iPhone, man.
Mm. I'm
trying to think, if you got a Rottweiler or something like that, maybe it'd be able to like
nothing that they can't chew through.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, so that's it. Good guess. Actually, you've done pretty well with the guessing.
Yeah, man, I'm killing it out here. You know what I mean? I still think that somebody should take a picture of a Big Mac and then put it in a sandwich and then try and eat it. That's a good way to break your phone.
Take a picture of a Big Mac.
On your phone.
Yeah.
So it's on the screen.
Put the phone in the sandwich.
So you're imagining there's a Big Mac in there. And then just chowing it down, mate. You know what I mean? Why not?
Fuck. That's
imagine explaining that to the insurance company. So what happened to the phone? Well, I was feeling peckish. Didn't have anything in the fridge or the cupboard. So found this archive picture of a Big Mac on Google. Looked delicious. Banged it in between a bit of bread. Whop. There you go.
I think you need to go and see someone for a serious conversation about life.
I'm just saying, if you're going to do it in style, like I said earlier.
Yeah, vegan way of having a Big Mac, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's knock a few more out there before we get out of the building today. There's something called the prosthetic photographer, and it's designed by a guy called Peter Bruskowski. I can't say his name. And it's designed to shock you into taking better photos. This AI device recognizes when you, Nick, or you, the listener, or you, Billy, or me, take a good picture and doesn't shock you. But if you press the shutter at the wrong time and this device is connected to you, you get a shock. I think that's a great way of getting you into photography.
Hold on. So you get an actual physical electric shock?
Yeah, why not?
How has this been passed through? Can't like people have heart attacks from getting electric shocks and that?
I think when you have devices like this, they do usually come with it. If you have any underlying heart problems, do not use this device. Right. But I think this is a great way to train people. In fact, maybe this should be something that they introduce into the education system for kids.
These undisciplined kids
out there, we should plug them into the wall, all of them. If they get questions wrong in a multiple choice exam, they get a little shock.
That could work. It would also come in handy when, you know, like you're out with your mate or your missus or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is a we're in a really good place, man. I want to get a good picture here. There's a real good moment, but there's only two of you, or you know, you want all of the people in the group want to be in a picture.
Yeah.
So you have to ask some stranger to take a picture.
Yeah.
Why is it every single stranger that I ever talk to take a picture for me is the shittest person at taking pictures ever?
Do you know what it is? It's because they don't care. Because they're like, for fuck's sake, why have I got to take a picture of you for?
But it's like,
they don't even
know how to use an iPhone.
Why? They know. They know what they're doing, Nick, but they don't care because you know why? It's not their photo.
They're
Nick.
Moving the fucking phone before the picture's even like take. It's like you fucking absolute arsehole.
If they really care, do you know what they'll do, Nick? They'll do a picture with the flash. They'll do one in case. Then they'll do one without the flash and another one in case. Has that ever happened to you?
It's all about, listen, any of the dudes out there will know this. The dudes that have got girlfriends or are in long-term relationships, whatever. I'm not, so it's cool. But like, the dudes that are...
Free and single.
I've been in them though, so it's calm. But it's like, you know when you're with a chick, she's expecting a photo shoot. Mm. Yeah, when it's like an Insta moment, she's expecting at least 10 photos to choose from.
Yeah.
Different angles, different lights, up, down, side to side. She wants all of that.
Are we still talking about photos?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, yeah, cool. Yeah, 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 cool.
Yeah, we're still talking about photos here.
I'm with you.
I don't do side to side in it if we're talking about that, you know, yeah. just up and down.
Okay, cool, cool.
But yeah.
Too much girth.
but basically, like, these people, they must never have been in a loving relationship in their lives. That's what it comes down to.
Well, maybe if you're putting it out for someone that's by themselves, there's probably a likelihood that they're single. Maybe you've just found a single person walking around who has no one to take photos with because they're so shit at taking photos.
I think what you should aim to do, and you know, I don't mean to sound ageist, but I'm about to be ageist.
Mm.
If you're out and about and you want to get a decent picture of you and the crew or you and your
young
missus,
people.
Whatever, yeah, holler at somebody young.
Holler at the young'uns or look for a group of people who are taking enough selfies and say, look, you look like you know what you're doing. Complimented them. They're happy. Can I take a photo of you guys? Can you take a photo of us guys? Done.
There you go. Bang.
There you go.
But don't talk to anyone who's got a selfie stick because they're all arseholes. That's just the rules.
Are those still around?
I know. They are, mate.
Are those still around?
Mental, aren't they?
Crazy. Anyway, I think that's every single way that we can kill time today, Nick, right? Where can we find you?
On social media, all of them, at Nick Bright DJ. That's where you can find me. But before we go, quickly,
yeah, go on.
Just quick one for you, actually. Did you see the new Tomb Raider escape room?
I saw it on... Oh yeah, I've not seen it in real life. I saw some people talking about it. It looked fucking immense.
It looked so sick. Like, immense. So, I mean, I don't know what the deal is with that, whether it was just like a thing for celebrities or whether like... all of us can go and have a go or whatever, or even if it's still around for us to have a go. But if it's not, just have a look at some of the videos in that because it looks crazy.
It looks amazing. I've got a friend that works for Time Out and they said it was just for promo in the film. It wasn't for the public. And that is why us here at How to Kill an Hour didn't do it that time, Not because we didn't get invited, I promise.
That's a shame, man.
We only wanted to kill time with ways that you can kill time, all right?
Yeah.
That's what we were about, you know what I mean?
They're so greedy, man.
Man saw the invite and I was just like, if it's not for the people,
It's the people's show.
It's people's show, you know what I mean?
It is what it is.
You know what I mean?
But have a look at some of the videos if you want to have a look at an example of a really good escape room. And you can see that there. It looked mad fun. I saw someone swinging across a rope at the end while some fire like gets blown into the air.
Please finish the sentence. Fire gets blown into there.
Into the air.
Oh, I thought you said fire gets blown into there.
Arse.
That's one spicy way to finish. That's an experience, isn't it? I'll have a double check, but I think it's definitely, it's not for public consumption. Yeah. It's to promote the film. I've been Marcus Bronzy. You can find me on all social medias at Marcus Bronzy. Before we let you go, don't forget you can click the link in the show description to join our newsletter and we'll share with you all the ways that you can kill time. We'll let you know when we drop new podcasts. More importantly, when we're doing cool ass giveaways for free shit, which we have got coming up very soon, we'll let you know about those early as well. How to Kill an Hour is at How to Kill an Hour on all social medias. Biddy's about to chastise me into saying something before we go.
How'd you do a poll? I'm gonna put it up right now.
He wants to do a poll for the poos on the How to Kill an Hour. Yeah, on the How to Kill an Hour social medias, there'll be a poll about do you stand up or sit down to take a shit. Please get involved in that because we'll be talking about it.
Not to take a shit. Fucking hell, standing up to take a shit. That's all down the back of your legs, that man. Wow.
Do you stand up or sit down to wipe your ass? We'll be sharing that and talking about that on next week's episode. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been Nick Bright.
He has been Billy, the stand-up after he takes a shit ass wiper.
Yeah.
Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Imagine the the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.